Everybody, it's nice to see you again after the summer. I want to dedicate this class for the quick recovery of all the people who were injured in Israel and hope that we'll hear from now on good news from there and from all over the world, from Jewish people. The Parsha of the week is Parashat Ki Tavo. I want to discuss today the first part of the parsha, a part that discusses the mitzvah of Bikurim. The mitzvah of Bikurim. I want to do it on two levels. First, I want to discuss the mitzvah of Bikurim on a practical level, what has to be done and what's the main message. And then we look into it on a different level based on the explanation of the Ora Chaim HaKadosh. The reason why I want to bring the Ora Chaim HaKadosh today is because we are before Rosh Hashanah, before a new year, and it gives us an outlook to life in general as a Jew in this world. So let's start on the simple level. We are at page 1069, and we'll start with reading a few psukim, then we'll add a few more. And see first what the mitzvah is on a simple level. It will be when you enter the land that Hashem, your God, gives you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take of the first of every fruit of the ground that you bring in from your land that Hashem, your God, gives you, and you shall put it in a basket. And go to the place that Hashem, your God, will choose to make his name rest in. So, what's written up till now? Up till now, it tells us that this is a mitzvah that has to do with the land of Israel. It will be only after you come to the land of Israel and inherit it that you have to fulfill this mitzvah. And what do you have to do? Okay? You take from the first fruit of the land. And our sages explain that it's from the seven minim, chita, seora, gefen, tenaya, the seven minim, the seven species that the land of Israel is blessed with. You take the first fruit. Every farmer has to go into his fields and see when the first fruits of those seven species start to grow, make a sign, tie something around the fruit to know that this is the first that grew. And on Shavuot, and if you can't on Shavuot, if from whatever reason he doesn't come to Yerushalayim on Shavuot, it can be brought later on too. But preferably it's on Shavuot, you put it in a basket, you bring it to Yerushalayim, and you put it in front, in the place that Hashem your God will choose to make his name rest, meaning you bring it to Beit HaMikdash. Let's go further. You shall come to whoever will be the Kohen in those days, and you shall say to him, I declare today to Hashem, your God, that I have come to the land that Hashem swore to our forefathers to give us. The Kohen shall take the basket from your hand and lay it before the altar of Hashem, your God. So you bring it to the Beit HaMikdash, you tell the Kohen, I brought the fruit, I declare, right, as the Torah says, I declare today to Hashem your God that I've come to the land, right? And I'm bringing the fruits, and the Kohen puts it in front of the altar. And eventually, it's given to the Kohen. The Kohen will eat the fruits, okay? So if we look into this mitzvah, it's something that eventually ends by the Kohen. But it's very different than other gifts that are given to the Kohen. From everything that grows to us in the land of Israel, a part has to be given to the Kohen. We call it Truma. It's one of the things that have to be given before we can eat what was produced for us. And the Kohen eats it. He is family. It's holy, the Truma. And only people who are holy from the family of the Kohen, who are Kohanim, can eat it. But the Kohen can come to the farmer to ask for it. It could be given to him anywhere in the land of Israel and could be eaten by the Kohen anywhere in the land of Israel. It's a part that a portion that is given to him and it's his. The reason why it's given to the Kohen is because the Kohen does not have a part in the land of Israel because he has to do the service in the Beit HaMikdash. He does it in behalf of all of the Jewish nation. So we have to support him. So every Jew takes a part and gives to the Kohen based on the details of the laws that the Torah gave for Truma, how much and how it has to be eaten and so on. Bikurim is a very different story. It's not really given to the Kohen as a gift that will give him sustenance because he serves in the Beit HaMikdash. It is a gift, so to speak, to Hashem. And that's why the first thing that is done is it's put in front of the altar. Later on, being that the Kohen is the one who, so to speak, represents Hashem here on earth, is like the ministers of the king. The Kohanim are like the ministers of the king, right? They execute his will in the Beit HaMikdash, they bring the offerings, they do the service in the Beit HaMikdash. So we give it to the Kohanim, but we give it to the Kohanim as representatives of Hashem. Like somebody will give a present to somebody in the government or in the somebody who works for the king, is a minister, is honor, a way to honor the king. It's not about honoring the minister, it's honoring the king, but being that he helps the king in executing his will, we honor him as well. So it's basically a gift to Hashem, so to speak, not a gift to the Kohen, even though Hashem later on gives it to the Kohen and he can eat it. So what's the meaning of it? Let's look at the language of the mitzvah. There is something that is repeated in this mitzvah many times. I'll show you one or two in the beginning, and it's when you check at home, just to save time, right? You'll see that it appears here 7 times. It starts with, it will be when you enter the land that Hashem your God gives you. So it doesn't tell us only, it will be when you enter the land. But the Torah adds that Hashem, your God, gives you as an inheritance. So Hashem gives it to you. And then, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take the first of every fruit of the ground that you bring in front of your land that Hashem, your God, gives you. Again, repetitions, that Hashem, your God, gives you. The root, nun taf nun, that means giving, appears in the mitzvah Bikurim 7 times. We know that number 7 shows something complete when it speaks about things in the Torah, right? So the Torah wants to emphasize very strongly that Hashem gives you the land. 7 times, the concept of giving, 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 and it's repeated. That's one thing. Second, when the person says the declaration that he says, in the paragraph that we read, and we'll see it later on as well. Let's see what the person says. You shall come to whoever will be the Kohen in these days, and you shall say to him, it's verse number 3. I declare today to Hashem your God that I have come to the land that Hashem swore to our forefathers to give us. Now this could be said 800 years after we entered the land. This is a person who was born in the land of Israel, and for 800 years, there is a lineage of people of his family who were in the land of Israel. Still, what does he say? In the present time, right? I have come to the land that Hashem swore to our forefathers, meaning the Torah wants him to say, I came to the land of Israel. It's not my forefathers who came to the land and that's my inheritance. No. I tell you that I feel that I came to the land of Israel. This is usually not what we feel and what we say. When we get something new, we realize we just were given a gift, right? But if we have something on an ongoing basis, we take it for granted. Right? If a person grew up in richness, it will be very rare that he'll get up every morning and tell Hashem, I thank you so much that you gave me, that you give me richness. To him, that's the natural. If a person was poor and then he won the lottery, at least on the first few days, he'll get up in the morning and will say, thank you, Hashem, you gave me the lottery. What the Torah demands of us is that when we come to the land of Israel, and we have there generation after generation after, after generation. As I said, for an example, it's 800 years down the line, that we will feel that Hashem now brought us into the land of Israel. And in reality, it is like this, because the fact that I have today what I had yesterday is not because I had it yesterday, I have today. Hashem gave it to me yesterday. And it's a new giving today, and that's why I have it today. The reason that it's ongoing is only to test me and to see, do I feel that Hashem gave it to me? Or do I feel that that's mine and I deserve it? So when a person worked a full year on a piece of land that he got as an inheritance from his father, got it from his father, got it from his father till the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? And he can come to Jerusalem and say, Hashem, I declare by my coming here and putting it in front of you, I declare that this is not mine, that you gave it to me today, that every day you give it to me. And I feel like a new gift given to me today and not like an inheritance, even though you gave it to us already so many years ago and you told us it's yours. Right? But we feel every day you tell us it's yours. And that's true for us as well. Everything that we have, everything that we possess, everything that is given to us, and not only in terms of possessions that are external, but our life, our health, our talents, our emotional capability, and so on and so on. These are all gifts that are given to us moment by moment. And the fact that we had it before does not mean in any way that we have it today. So we have to feel as if we came today to the land. It's not really ours, right? And we declare it by the fact that we take the first and we give it to Hashem, like telling him it's basically yours. And by giving you the beginning, the most desirable, obviously the first fruits that grow are the most enjoyable to the farmer, right? By bringing it to Jerusalem and presenting it, so to speak, as a gift to Hashem, what we say is, it's your gift. We are not, the land is not ours, it's yours. You gave us permission to work the land and enjoy from the fruits, but it's basically yours. So we show you that it's yours, that we recognize it by bringing it here to Jerusalem. And if you go further in the Psukim, in Pasuk number 5, then you shall call out and say before Hashem your God, an Aramean tried to destroy my forefather. The common simple explanation is that the Aramean is Lavan, who lived in Aram, and he tried to destroy Yaakov. He did not want the Jewish nation to be created, right? And the nation, Yaakov and his family, descended to Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, and there he became a nation, great, strong, and numerous. The Egyptians mistreated us and afflicted us and placed hard work upon us. Then we cried out to Hashem, the God of our forefathers, and Hashem heard our voice and saw our affliction and travels and our oppression. And he took us out of Egypt, brought us to the land, right? The land flowing with milk and honey. And now behold, verse number 10, this is what I want to emphasize. I have brought the first fruit of the ground that you have given me, not my forefathers, right? O Hashem, and you shall lay it before Hashem your God, and you shall prostrate yourself before Hashem your God. So that's on the simple level. Not very simple to live up to it, right? To have all that we have and we feel, and to feel as if today I'm giving it for the first time, even though I had it yesterday and the day before yesterday, and to feel total gratitude אסיף יצנו גיפט. זה צבי קוראים אונסים פלבו. This we love you also take care of the big worry that we are warned about when we enter the land of Israel, not feeling that it's that our success is a result of our effort. We have to put effort, but the success is a chance. That's the plain level of explaining this part of the parashah. But as I said before, I want to go to the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. And he says a statement before he starts the explanation that is very unique and it's fascinating. He says, Vehitzatzti beparasha zo. I peeked into this parasha, this topic. It's as if there are, what he tells us in other verses, that there are a few levels of looking at this story. One is the one that we just explained. And this is what you see on a superficial level. Not simple to accomplish it, but you see it on a superficial level. But if you have the ability to look in from the crack in the window shield, right? If you look from far, you don't put effort, you don't try to look into it further, that's what you'll see. But if you look inside, right, you'll see something very different. And he'll tell us what he sees on a different level. And what is unbelievable, and maybe that's why he tells it to us, he wants to bring us to an understanding of life the way he sees it. It's like opening up a window for us. Via this mitzvah, you get to see the world and life and everything in it from a totally different perspective. And the Torah guides you towards it. So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, who was one of very, very few people who were given the title Kadosh, holy. When we say Or HaChaim, we always said HaKadosh, the holy Or HaChaim. He lived over 400 years ago and ended his life in the land of Israel, was one of the classical commentaries of Torah, and all through his commentary, he brings us to heights and understandings of life and the depths of life on a level that is so enlightening and can change our approach to life. So he looked through the opening, and what did he see in this mitzvah? Obviously, what he sees in the mitzvah is based on the language of the Torah, right? It's in the psukim. So we have to see what brought him to look in and to reveal to us what is really told to us here. So he emphasizes two things. One, the verse, and you have to look at the Hebrew, the first word in this mitzvah is the word vehaya, right? It will be. It will be when. Vehaya. It will be when. There are two ways to say it will be when. We can say vehaya and we can say vayehi. And the Torah differentiates between the two. Our commentaries explain that the language vehaya is used when something happy is happening. So it is something very happy. A farmer worked for a full year, he got new fruit, he comes to Yerushalayim to see Hashem, to be seen by Hashem. Unbelievable. It's happy, right? But at the end of this parasha, if you look at verse 11, after the whole mitzvah is described, the Torah had something else. The Torah says, you shall rejoice with all the goodness that Hashem your God has given you and your household, you and the Leviat and the proselyte who is in your midst. So the Torah emphasizes the concept of happiness in this mitzvah in the very beginning with the first word and at the very end. And this seems to be something extra. It's telling you, be happy, right? In addition to the performance of the mitzvah, be happy. And being that the Torah speaks about happiness, the Orach Chaim cannot stay being of who he is with the simple interpretation of you work the land and you got fruits, Hashem helped you, you brought it to Yerushalayim, what is a big reason to be happy as well, but not enough. Ve'itzat still a parasha. I looked into, this cannot be the source of happiness. And he says as follows. I'll quote some of his sentences because his language is so amazing. I'll of course translate. She'ein ra'ui la'adam lismoach. It's not the right thing for men to be happy. Ela, but she'yavo la'eretz ha'elyona. But when he comes to the reality of above, meaning we have two realities. We have this reality, life in this world. And we have a second phase to our existence, which is the world to come, either after 120 and hopefully after the resurrection of the dead. And he says it's not the right thing to have the source of happiness as life in this world, the physical possessions that we have in this world. And he says, why? Ki simchat olam hazeh, because any level of happiness that we can have in this world, eina ela hevel ve'reut roach, is only vanity. It's something that is gone at a certain point. And if the Torah speaks about happiness, the Torah speaks about the ultimate happiness. If the Torah speaks about an inheritance, as is written later on, right? In Pasuk Aleph, when you'll come to the land that Hashem your God gave you as an inheritance. We cannot speak about something that is here today and not there tomorrow. An inheritance is something that a person has for good. It's his. It's a possession that his. We know that even if a land is sold in the land of Israel, when the Jubilee year comes, he gets it back because an inheritance is something forever, physically. But if the Torah speaks about Hashem gave you an inheritance, it has to be really eternal. And that's why he says, this parasha guides us to be happy with what the world to come and its essence is going to give us. And he says, it's called a gift, right? Hashem Elokecha noten lecha. Hashem is giving you. And as we said, the concept of a gift is emphasized 7 times. And why is it a gift? After all, we know that what we do in this world is what makes us deserve what we'll get in the world to come. So why is it a gift? Isn't it something we earned? So he said the following. Ki be'erech ma she'shave olam ha'elyon. If we look at the value of what is, what will be given to us after 120 or after the resurrection of the dead, anything that we'll do, even if we'll do everything and anything that Hashem demands of us to do, and we get to the highest levels, he speaks about himself too, even on the level of the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, it doesn't come even to 1 promile of 1,000 of what it is worth. Meaning the price that we are asked to give for what will be given is a joke. No matter what it will be that we will do in this world, it cannot pay for what we'll get there. And that's why the Torah says it is a gift. So the first thing it tells us, you want happiness, know that there is something else. Know that whatever happiness you'll feel in this world is not even a fraction of what will be in the world to come. And he'll explain soon why and what it is and how to get there, right? So the third thing, you have to value it. So it changes our outlook to happiness and difficulties in this world. Difficulties are very difficult in this world. But we have to know that even if we'll have the happiest life in this world, it's nothing in comparison of what is waiting for us there. And if the Torah tells us, you'll rejoice, it speaks about the real pleasure. Let's go further. Still, the Torah tells us, Virashta. Hashem gives you the gift, but you have to inherit it. Meaning it's true. No matter what we'll do, it's not a payoff for what we'll get. But we are demanded to do. We have to inherit what we'll get. Meaning we have to do whatever Hashem wants us to do in order that we will dwell in it. The terms for dwelling here in the Pasuk is Veyashavta ba, to sit in the land, if we translate it literally. And it brings to mind a saying of our sages that describes life, afterlife. It speaks about the righteous who are sitting in a circle and enjoy the presence of Hashem. So he says, we cannot earn it really, but we are demanded to do everything that we could. And then we'll get to this gift that Hashem will give us, that will, so to speak, sit in a circle around him and enjoy his presence. When we'll come to this place, either after 120 or after the resurrection of the dead, we have to bring something with us. The next pasuk starts with the word velakarta, that you shall take of the fruit, of every fruit of the ground that you have and bring it in front of Hashem. Meaning, when we come in front of Hashem after 120, we have to bring something with us, what we gathered here. And we gather over a time, the same way that a farmer puts a seed in the ground. It takes time till it grows, till it becomes a small little tree, and then till the fruit grows, until when the fruit starts, it stages till it's ripe, right? So it's symbolizing the spiritual growth that we have to do in this world, that with it we come in front of Hashem. Now, which fruits do we bring about to Hashem? The fruits of the land of Israel, that are the best of the fruits of the land of Israel. And he tells us, when you come in front of Hashem, bring with you something of value. Not just things that you did. Choose the best things you did. Those that were done with the purity of mind, for the sake of Hashem, not just for your own benefit. Bring it in front of Hashem, right? And go to the place that Hashem chose to dwell in it, which is really in your own heart, right? So this is the direction that he gives us, where he tells us to go. Now, the language that describes the fact that it's the beginning, the first fruit in the pasuk is reshit. Velakachta mereshit kol pri admatcha. Take from the first fruit. First is written here as reshit. The word rishon, the first, in Hebrew, is from the same root. Rishon, sheini, shlishi, yom rishon, the first day, right? The root is resh alef shin, the same as here, reshit. The word Reshit brings to mind the first word in the Torah. Bereshit, in the beginning, it's again the first, right, the first moment, Hashem created heaven and earth. On this pasuk, Bereshit bara Elokim et ha-shamayim et ha-aretz, in the beginning, Hashem created heaven and earth. Rashi says that there is another explanation in addition to in the beginning. The word Reshit is used in the Torah for as a description for Torah and a description for the Jewish nation. So when the Torah tells us, Bereshit bara Elohim, in the beginning Hashem created heaven and earth, the Torah also tells us, for Reshit, for the Torah, and for the Jewish people, Hashem created heaven and earth. And there is a connection between all the places that the word Reshit is written in the Torah. It's a rule in the Torah. Whenever a word appears more than one time, there is a connection between all the places that this word appears. So what's the connection here between the beginning of creation, the Torah, and the mitzvah of Bikurim? So what does the Pasuk tell us? The Pasuk tells us that when you come to the land that Hashem has given you, you have to bring the first fruits. This seems a difficult concept. Hashem has given us earth because it's written in Psalms, La'ashem ha'aretz ha'meloah. Heaven and earth belong to Hashem. So if it belongs to Hashem, how could Hashem say, I've given it to you? It's written that it's yours. If I give a gift and it's not mine anymore, right? I gave it to somebody else, now it's his. So if we go with it to this pasuk, Hashem gave us the land of Israel, it means he gave up ownership. But it's written that heaven and earth are his. So how could it be a gift? And it's a question that our sages ask. What is it? Is it Hashem or is it ours? If it's a gift, it has to be ours and not his. If it's his, it's not ours. How do we reconcile the two? We reconcile the two by the fact that we follow Torah. And that's the connection to the Reshit, to the Torah here. Yes, it cannot be Hashem's and ours at the same time. But we have to know that it's Hashem's all the time. But we can make it our gift by following Torah. If we take what Hashem gave us, the first fruits that are so beloved by us from the land of Israel, and we bring it in front of Hashem and we say, it's really yours, this makes it ours. And it has to be done every year. And when the Beit HaMikdash is not there, by us getting up every morning, making a blessing, recognizing that it's Hashem's, we own it, meaning it's not owned, and it's ours, just because it was given once, like with a gift that we will give to somebody else. We give it to him once, and now it's not ours anymore, it's his forever. No. It continues to be Hashem's. And on an ongoing basis, every time that we use anything that we take from the land, or everything that Hashem gives us, and we recognize that it's his, this makes it ours. But the fact that I made a blessing now on this cup of water that I drink doesn't make the next cup of water mine. The next cup of water is Hashem's. What will make the next cup of water mine? Again, my recognition that it belongs to Hashem. So it's an ongoing process, an ongoing way that we can earn everything that we have. And I want to read again a language that he uses, because he says the following. Even after all, no, he says as follows. After that man does what Hashem commanded him, the things that he did, the fulfillment of commandment, make it a gift. Because if not, all that we'll do doesn't give us any right to have it. Because what is it that we did? We took something that belongs to Hashem and we gave it to him. It belonged to him anyhow. So if I take a cup of water and I make a blessing before I drink it, And I say that it makes this cup of water mine. I have to understand what is it that I'm saying. Right? What I'm saying is that what I'm giving Hashem is something that is His. So what's the meaning of I'm doing something to the Devil? I'm taking something that doesn't belong to me and say it belongs to you? It's basically nothing. So it remains a gift. And that's amazing. So Hashem constantly gives me gifts, even though I basically don't deserve it. But He makes it mine, even though it's His, if I do what He told me to do, even though I'm giving Him what belongs to Him, but is not really mine. That's an amazing thing. What He tells me, in other words, is I really cannot give Hashem anything. Whatever I'll do with what He gave me. If it's my brain, if it's my heart, it's my life, it's my possessions, anything that I can use in order to do His will is done by what is His. He still refers to it as I gave Him something that is mine. By doing what He wants me to do, He makes it a gift and refers to it as I gave Him something that is mine. So He's constantly turning earth and whatever is on it into something that belongs to me, even though it's a gift. By me doing something that is basically just recognizing that it's His. Cannot give Him something that is mine. Okay. It's basically a very, very amazing thing. Okay. He says, afterwards, we have to say a declaration. Because after all, when we live in this world, we do feel that things are mine. Right? If somebody will come into my house and take a cup of water without permission, I'll tell him, wait a moment, did you ask permission? It's mine. Right? And it feels like ours, especially for things that I worked very hard for a full year till I have the fruits, right? To be able to feel that it's basically not mine, that if not the partner that I have in making things grow, I'm unable to do anything. Who created the seed? Who created the ground with all that the seed needs in order to grow? Who did it? Who gives the rain? Who gives the wind? Right? It's a big miracle that is happening, and it's all Hashem. Right? Still, He makes it ours if we do whatever He wants us to do. And He says, everything that Hashem gives us, even if you bring it to Hashem, it's basically not possible to pay for what He's giving us. And that's why we have to say a declaration. We are coming in front of Hashem after 120, after the resurrection of the dead. We know what He told us to do. We understand the present, the way we explained it. The privilege of doing the will of Hashem that makes things ours, even though they are not. And we get a reward as if He gave something that is ours. Unbelievable, right? And still, we don't always do what Hashem wants us to do. The fact that we have free choice, right, leads us sometimes to do things that are against the will of Hashem. It should have not happened, but that's how Hashem created us, with the ability to do something that is against His will. So when we'll come in front of Hashem after 120, we'll have to say a declaration. We will have to explain ourselves in front of Hashem. And that's how we explain the declaration that we say when we come to Shemayim. So let's look at verse number 5. Then you shall call out and say before Hashem your God, An Aramean tried to destroy my forefather. He explained on the Pshat level that it speaks about Lavan, who wanted to prevent Yaakov from establishing the Jewish nation. That's the common explanation, and that's the Pshat level explanation. But if you peek through the cracks, you see many other explanations, and he shares some with us. He says, who is the Aramean, the cheater, and who is the father? The ultimate father is first man, who is the father of all of us, of all human beings. And there was somebody who was a cheater, who cheated him, wanting to destroy him, the bad inclination. So we come in front of Hashem and we say, Hashem, we recognize that you are God. We recognize that life in this world that we just came from was a privilege beyond description. That there are things that we do with what is not ours are considered ours, given to us as a present, and with it we can inherit what we can gain in the world to come. And we know that we did not do everything the way you wanted. So we want to explain ourselves. We want to say that it's not because we didn't appreciate or didn't recognize your goodness. It's because you put in us a bad inclination who is there to destroy us. And he destroyed really first man. He brought death into this world. He brought a lot of evil into this world. The world of first man before the sin is not the world of first man after the sin. Before the sin, holiness was what life was all about. Man was holy. The world was on a different level. And it was destroyed. And we were born already into a world where evil is very strong as a result of the sin. Right? And we are afflicted by this bad inclination. Okay? It's described as he brought us in. Just a second, I want to get it with the verb of the Pasuk. Okay. Now we have more evil in us. He destroyed mankind in a way, and that's where we are starting from. And that's why we didn't do everything that you wanted us to do. That's one way to explain it. The other explanation that he offers is that Avi, our father, refers to the soul, meaning the main creative power in us is the soul. That's the father. That's the one that is there to create. And there is a bad inclination that wants to destroy it. And the bad inclination brings us into Mitzrayim. When the soul comes into this world, the soul is pure. But the soul is put into a body. And the body is like Mitzrayim. It's limiting the soul. When the soul is in the body, it cannot shine in its full force. If it would have be able to shine in its full force, if it would not be limited by the body, we wouldn't have free choice. So we don't always see the world the way we should. We don't always have the clarity that can bring us not to fulfill the will of Hashem. And the bad inclination tries to strengthen the physical aspect of us. It brings us into Mitzrayim. And it's very hard to fight him. Because if you look at the Pasuk, he afflicts us, right? If you look, what happens in Mitzrayim? In the beginning, we were very few in Mitzrayim. Meaning only a small part of us is limited when we start with the bad inclination. meaning yes, we have a bad inclination, but we have also a soul that is pure. When we fail for the first time, a little bit of evil is added to us, and the balance is a little off. But being that the balance is already off, it's easier to commit a sin. The stronger evil is in us, the harder it is to follow the good inclination. And that's why, after we were very few in Mitzrayim, we became a big, strong nation, meaning the body that is our Mitzrayim, the physicality, the evil that we possess inside us, the bad inclination and its strengths, in the beginning is equal to the strength of the good inclination. But the more we fail, we strengthen it. And when we strengthen it, it's harder to overcome it. Vayareu otanu ha-Mitzrim. Look at verse number 6. The Egyptians mistreated us and afflicted us. Vayareu, the Hebrew, meaning they afflicted us, can be understood also differently. They afflicted us, they did evil to us. Vayareu comes from Ra. They did things that are bad for us. But it's not written, Vayareu lan. They did wrong things to us. Lan. But it's written, Otan, us. They made us more evil. Vayareu otan. So it's two meanings. They did difficult things to us. That's on a pshat level. We came down to Egypt and they afflicted us physically, spiritually too. But the result of it was that they added evil to us. We became more evil. The balance that we had inside us became more and more unequal. As we know, when the Jewish people were in Egypt, they followed in some ways the Egyptians. They were in 49 gates of impurity. It didn't start with 49 gates of impurity. It started with one, and then a second, and then a third. The more we sin, if we don't do tshuva, the more we'll be pulled to sin. And the bad inclination is very powerful. It's an angel. It doesn't need to rest. It doesn't need to sleep. It doesn't need to eat. He can put all of his energy into afflicting us. And that's what's called in the Pasuk, they put upon us hard work. It's not so simple to overcome the bad inclination. But Hashem did not leave us in a situation that we cannot get out of. So what did we do that took us out of Egypt? And what is it that we have to do every day? When we are approached by the bad inclination and we want to overcome it. Because coming out of Egypt will continue till Mashiach will come. And that's why we have to see ourselves as coming out of Egypt every year on Pesach, and we mention coming out of Egypt every day. So verse number 7, then we cried out to Hashem. Prayer. Yes, the bad inclination is an angel. Yes, if we failed once, it's harder to succeed. And without the help of Hashem, impossible. Impossible, because if we failed when it was 50-50, good and evil, how are we going to succeed if it's 55 and 60 and 70? So one way is, Vanitzak el Hashem Elokei Avoteinu. We cry to Hashem, we pray. And then he helps us, and then we are not bound to the laws of nature. Then we can have a lot of evil in us and still succeed one way, but it's not the only one. It's written, Vayar et onyeinu ve'et amaleinu ve'et lachatzeinu. Hashem sees all that the bad inclination does to us. He afflicts us, he pressures us. Restlessly, is never asleep. And then in verse number 8, It takes us out of Egypt with a strong hand, with a stretched arm, and with great awesomeness, with miracles and signs. These are different things that take us out of Egypt. Each one of them tells us of one thing that can help us to get out of the limitations that we create for ourselves when we don't follow the will of Hashem, when we create more and more of a Mitzrayim. What are they? So Yad Chazakah is referring to Torah. Hashem gave us the Torah with strengths. If you look at the description of the giving of the Torah in Parashat Yitro, then the Torah describes it. It's written that it was with thunder, with voices, with seeing Hashem and getting the awesomeness of Hashem via Torah and via the day of the giving of the Torah. And this is with us still today. When we study Torah in the proper way, as the Torah of Hashem, and look into it, not just on the superficial level. If we try to do on our level, what the Or HaChaim HaKadosh does on his level, to look through the cracks and see what is offered to us here. What does Hashem tell us? It's the words of a loving father who demands from us things that we can do, but the accomplishments of what we do are way beyond what we can accomplish. We give his, and it's considered ours. We cry to him because we cannot do it ourselves, and he does it for us. Torah is a story of, or a manual of getting there with our limited means and getting what Torah can have really bring us to that is way beyond what we can achieve. Otot u'moftim refer to different mitzvot. We know that there are mitzvot that are called ot. Shabbat is an ot, a sign between us and Hashem. Tfilin is a sign that is between us and Hashem. There are mitzvot that are called moftim. Mezuzah is considered a mofet, a miracle. Because we take a piece of parchment, we write two parts from the Torah on it, we put it on our door, and it's a protector, miraculously. So the appreciation of what Hashem offered us in order to be able to come to wherever he wants us to be will help us to utilize it, to do it in order to gain what he wants us to gain. Verse number 10, we speak about coming to the land of Israel, a land of honey and milk, meaning Hashem gave us physicality, the land of Israel. But it's a land where the eyes of Hashem are focused on from the beginning of the year to the land of the end of the year. And via taking the land that he gave us and fulfilling the mitzvot that are connected to the land, that we can do in the land of Israel, like Bikurim. And when we cannot do it because we are not there or the Beit HaMikdash is not there learning about them, we can really come in front of Hashem, put something in front of him and say, I bring my first fruits to you. It's basically his fruits. But we can tell Hashem, you gave me the means to make it mine, and you consider it as if it is yours. This can bring us to the ultimate happiness that is described in verse number 11. And let's look into it. You shall rejoice with all the goodness that Hashem your God has given you and your household. All the goodness. What the Or HaChaim HaKadosh emphasizes is the word all. All the goodness, the ultimate goodness. And that's why it cannot remain with fruits and a way to be able to sustain ourselves in this world. All the goodness is the ultimate goodness. And I want to show you how he describes the ultimate goodness. He says as follows, when we come to the world to come, it's not the end of our development. We know that after 120, we are purified from the blemishes that we put on our soul in this world. The fact that we did good things don't take away the blemishes of our soul. It's not like in a bank account that the minus takes away the plus, and the plus takes away the minus. The minus is minus, and it's an existence, and the plus is plus, and it's an existence, and we have to deal with both. So when we come to the world to come, there are things that we diminished from our soul. We are given the opportunity to purify. This is Gan Eden, Gehenom, whatever it is, I'm not going into it. How it's done, it's definitely not the plain understanding of fires and so on. It's a spiritual process of coming to what we can achieve ultimately in the world to come. And he describes this the following. He says, what is it? Shetitkarev nefesh atzadik, that the soul of the righteous, after the purification, will all become righteous, will come to where we have to be. Lifnei or in front of a light, hane'erav, a light that is the ultimate pleasure to be with. And we will bow down to it, will nullify ourselves to it. And there will be no separation that will separate us from this light. And he says, Ashrei nefesh adam, happy is the soul of a human being, shetagia legeder muflag kaze, that will come to such an above, beyond grasp level. And on this it's written, v'samachta b'chol hatov, you should be happy with all the good. Because all the good means a good that includes all the goods, meaning that any good that you can think of is included in it and it's beyond this. And what is this good? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, God. When we stand in front of God, that he is the source of good, Shehu Mekor HaTov, Asher Natan Lach, that he gives you the ability to be in his presence without any things that blocks between you and him. This is something that nothing can be as good. It can't even be described in the language and in the terms that we recognize. Ki davar ze ein erech. It's beyond anyone. And he says, lecha, asher Hashem noten lecha, v'samachta b'chol hatov asher lecha, that is yours and yours only. Because there is nobody that can get there. Not the angels. The highest of length of angels, Saraf. There is Malachim, Srafim, Ofanim, Chayot HaKodesh, different terms for angels. He says even the highest level of angel cannot get them. Because the only way to get them is via going through this world and via Torah getting there. Now, that's amazing. But the ending is maybe better than everything, even the peak of all that he says. It's very beautiful, but it's really beyond our grasp. It's really something that we can't even imagine. The world to come is not described by our prophets because there is no language for it. There is no something that it can be compared to. But you know, we can have a taste of it here in this world. And he says, V'samachta b'chol ha-tov. In the Torah, the word tov refers to Torah. Tov li Torah t'picha. Torah is good for me, says King David. Torah and tov are connected. And he says, if the people, I'll read it in Hebrew and then translate. It's a sentence to remember and to live with. שאם היו בני אדם מרגישים, if human being would feel, במתיקות, the sweetness, and the ערבות, the pleasantness of the good of the Torah, they would have been crazy after it. ומתלהטים אחריה. They would have been so excited about it, running after it. And the whole world of gold and silver would mean nothing to them. Because the Torah includes all the good that exists in the world, here and in the world to come. That's also what our sages say, Shabbat is like the world to come. Meaning, even those who learn Torah here and feel it here, still don't see the ultimate because they are still in a body. But the more we connect ourselves to Torah, the more we change our viewpoint on what life is all about and what privileged life is about, the more we'll feel Olam Haba in this world. The more we'll be happy because that's the ultimate level of happiness. So on a simple level, Bikurim tells me, take everything you have, possessions, who you are, the gifts Hashem gives you, inner, external, environment, parents, family, anything that you have, right? Bring it to Hashem. Connect to Hashem via it. That's one level. That is a lifetime job. And it's not so simple, even though it's a simple level. But we can live in this world and be on a different planet. The more we appreciate the fact that Hashem gave us, those who possess nothing, the ability to possess what is not ours. And when we give it to Hashem to be rewarded with His presence, the more we are on a different planet while we are here. That's the meaning of making Hashem a king on Rosh Hashanah. And hopefully bringing it to the year. What we say in other words is, the best, the foremost, what we want is his presence without any obstacles, without anything that covers it. And the more we reveal him here, the more it will be revealed to us in the world to come. Hopefully very soon in this world too, because when Mashiach will come, His presence will be here with us without the need to die anymore. Okay, we'll open to questions and comments.
Before we open for questions, I just want to announce the class is Le'ilu Nishmas, Me'irachai Nechama Bracha, Bas David Mordechai. We will open up for questions. All right, ladies, you should be able to unmute.
Go ahead.
Robertson mentioned Biyat Chazaka Uvezroa Netuya. So what's Uvezroa Netuya?
It's Tfilin, according to the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. I didn't bring all the details because the time did not allow. So I really recommend to go to the Or HaChaim HaKadosh and see how he explains it. Start with the word Vehitzatzti Baparasha. He explains first the shot level, and then he says, I looked into, right, via the crack, means I went inner, as we explain. So you'll see many more details that I didn't bring just because of limitations of time.
Is there, if it's tefillin, is there an aspect of that that's applicable to women?
It's the same as you say, is there an applicable thing for Bikurim today? Yes, every mitzvah is an idea, is a connector. When we study it, when we understand what it's supposed to do, we can achieve it if we perform it or not. No human being, no Jew can perform all the mitzvot. There are mitzvot that are connected to being a king, being a Kohen, being a Levi, being a woman, being a man. It's a combination of all of it and the ideas that are beyond all of it.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Anybody else?
Was the last thing you said, if I'm not mistaken, is that the more we reveal Hashem here in this world, says we will be in his presence without having to die? Is that what you said literally?
No, let me explain. When Mashiach comes, if we all do what we have to do and Mashiach comes, then we won't have to wait till after 120, till after death, in order to experience it. Then Hashem will be the ultimate king here in this world. The bad inclination will not be there anymore, and we'll experience it while being alive.
So we wouldn't even ha that's even before Tchias HaMesim, people who are alive then will be not having to be resurrected.
Some yes, some not. I won't go into it
Yeah.
because A, we
It's
don't
so
know enough
beyond.
about it, right? And what from what I read, there will be this and this depends on what a person has to accomplish. But life will be very long and worryless, and we'll be able totally to dedicate ourselves to the relationship with Hashem and grow in it without any obstacles.
And we'll be in this world we're living
In
in.
this world.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tzivach Tzima Tova. Thank you.
Sure.
My connection went.
I can't hear who is speaking. Okay. We'll finish here. Let's pray and hope that it will happen soon and it will release us from all the very difficult things that we go through physically and spiritually in our time and
Amen.
age.
Amen.
Let's this year finish with all the trouble and should have a good year. Very soon.
Amen.
Call to.
Cohen. What's up? Bye. Oh, thank you
Bela?
so much. I have a
Yeah.
question. Yeah,
You want to say something, Bela?
yeah, yeah, yeah. I keep getting disconnected. When the Rebbetzin spoke about how to you can conquer the Yisohara, my connection went. Uh-oh, I think it's going again.
Okay, but it is
Okay,
taped, so you
maybe
can
let
always re-listen. Okay, call to. Then
okay.
have a
Thank
good one.
you. Till then, I don't know if I'll conquer my Yetzer hara.
Call to.
Thank you. Thank you.